Welcome to CYC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 136. I'm Wolfgang Vashaw. This week is the fourth in our uploads from the 20th Canadian National Child and Youth Care Conference held in Vancouver, British Columbia, this past May. Today's session discusses child and youth care education practicums and is presented by Pamela Nichols and Dr. Robert Lees. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, welcome. So we are going to share a little bit of context about what our experience was together and how that kind of fits in other CYC situations as well, and kind of our core considerations for other CYC practicums as well. So to start off, So how I started off in this journey with Dr. Rob Lees is I volunteered in the Human Services Career Enrichment Program, which is a multi-level mentoring program out of the Chilliwack district. And this is a program where students, high school students, cohorts of grade 10, 11, and 12, train with mentors that are high school students or university students. So people like myself would go in on Saturday sessions and co-facilitate training sessions on human rights, mindfulness, peer counseling, and together we would work and train. And Dr. Rob Lees had a team of individuals that would come in and lead these sessions. So Rob and Colette approached me about coming along for my fourth year practicum placement, and taking on the role as the program slash volunteer coordinator for the Building Social Emotional Resiliency Program, which is this beautiful manual that we have here. So my role was to take this manual and start advocating in our school district to get this training into our schools. So we had our grade 11 students along with a mentor running a social emotional resiliency program in the classroom, and at first we had a lot of pushback. So it was my job to go in and advocate for this. We had the district kind of giving us a little bit of hesitation because they didn't feel that these students were well equipped, trained to take on this role. And being someone that had trained beside them for the past year, I was like, no, this is completely the opposite. Like, these are the most well trained and equipped individuals that could go in and do this. So that's how my role kind of started, and then it just snowballed from there, and I took on a little bit more from that. And so a couple months leading up to that, it took us a while to get started. So Dr. Lees came in and said, you know, we have this mental health clinic in our high school, so why don't you come in and be a clinician for a while? So I took on that role as well at the Youth Health Center. So it's a free drop-in single session model, solution focused center. So youth come in, typically you would see the youth once and then possibly not see them again, because they would be seeing other clinicians. We'll get into a little bit about how that works. So I was sharing in this practicum, so anyone who's done a fourth year practicum, you have limited hours. You have 400 hours to complete, and I was sharing my role between two pretty significant roles. So, I don't know if you have anything to add about the two sites, but
I'll just briefly add that the CYC department is heavily invested in this Human Service Career Enrichment Program, in that we have Christine Slavik, who gives us a whole day of training on mindfulness. So all of the undergraduate students who are mentors with the high school students co-train with Christine for a day on mindfulness and teaching mindfulness to children. And then we also have Mark Littlefield, who does a day of training for the youth on human rights, and particularly human rights for children and youth. And we have Cindy Ramage, who trains some of the youth in understanding trauma and the historic impacts of trauma.
Yeah, so they get a really neat, well-rounded view. So
I should say, too, just that in terms of the growth of professions, Cindy and I were just talking earlier about the fact that as she's looking at students applying for next year to the CYC program, there's quite a few of those students from that high school in that particular program who are applying to CYC because they know about it and they know how powerful it can be.
And they're rubbing shoulders with university students, and they get the chance to go in for a day and sit in on classes and see what it's like. And so it's a really, really beautiful opportunity. We'll also be sharing a little bit more later on in the week about both of these programs. So, this is just a brief overview of what these look like. So from a strength opportunity for myself, I got thrown into this huge leadership role right off the bat, and these two roles, one played heavily to my natural abilities, my ability to organize, to be task-oriented, and just kind of let me do my own thing, and Rob just kind of, said, just make it happen, and that was just liberating to know that he saw the ability in me and just let me take the reins and just let me go. So that was a huge opportunity. And then also from both of the sites, I got to sit on two very different interdisciplinary teams. So the HSEP, there's large agencies that come together to make this work, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the Ministry of Children and Families, we have the school district, the University of the Fraser Valley, that all sit on a committee to make this program run. So to get to see the inner workings of these interdisciplinary teams was amazing. And then also with the Youth Health Center, we have, maybe you can speak to the type of students.
The Youth Health Center brings together students from a number of different backgrounds. And in terms of my own history, I have an MSW, and then I have a master's in divinity, and then I did a doctorate in counseling psych at UBC, and I've also taught in the CYC program at the University of the Fraser Valley. And so I feel like I've got kind of a cross-discipline experience in my own development. Our bullpen of all the counselors that we have come from all those different backgrounds. So we have social work students and CYC students. We have some doctoral students in psychology and MA counseling psych students. And Pamela, one of the things that she struggled with our model, if I can disclose this about you, was the fact that it was episodic and just seeing people once. And you were really embedded in the relational tradition and wondered, how do solution-focused models work in that type of setting? And I think that was a very helpful reflection back for our program. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get into that in the challenges. So the necessity of flexibility. So I came to Rob probably just after Christmas, and I'm like, I'm burning out. Like, I am doing 20 plus hours plus on top of four courses. Like, in your fourth year, this is a lot. And the first thing he said was, okay, what do we need to do about this? And he was so supportive and just really understanding of where I was at. And it wasn't of anything about, okay, you need to tick your boxes off and make sure you're meeting these things on your final evaluation. He was just totally about the self-care and making sure that I was doing what was best for me. And that was it was just an amazing experience, because it could have been the complete opposite, where he could have said, you made a commitment to both of these sites, you need to stick with it. So just that having that flexibility in the relationship of student and supervisor is really crucial. So advocating for outside placements. So we were talking about having CYCs in other disciplines, discipline settings. So for me, I was placed in a setting where there wasn't really any other CYC workers. So I didn't really feel like I had an ally. I didn't really feel like I had a connection. I did have one. So it was, after a while, I did feel like I did get a bit of connection, but I always felt like my view was a little bit different, or my perspective was a little bit different. So I didn't have that person to kind of be like, hey, yeah, I get you. So I think it just kind of gives you an opportunity to stretch yourself.
Yeah, what's kind of exciting is when you see students from different disciplines together, is you see the nuances that are kind of highlighted that they bring to the work. Mm-hmm. And as Pamela did so wonderfully. She brings that relational practice perspective that was very effective in our setting, and also a trauma-informed perspective. And I know everybody's getting trauma-informed stuff these days, but I think it's richer and deeper in some ways in the CYC program that I'm seeing coming out of the University of the Fraser Valley. And so I've often wondered why are child and youth care people not working more with adults in the homelessness world? Because as you know, these days they're saying it's not your chronological age, it's your developmental age. And we know that many people who are struggling are developmentally not that old. Mm-hmm. And who could connect with them better than the students that you're working with? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I really relearned from working with Pamela and learning from her.
Thank you. Yeah. And then boundary setting, that was just about knowing where my limits were as a student and knowing when I had to say no. And even though I wanted to be the best and have, you know, this leadership role, I needed to know when to say no, and that Rob was okay with me saying that. So our considerations for CYC, exposure to interdisciplinary practice, student and supervisor adaptations, and then integrated capstone projects and research and practica.
And write, like really encouraging students to write, reflect on your experience, and try to get that published. I say to students, if you publish, you live forever, right? So, but it takes a lot of effort to do that, but make the effort.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about? Well, thank you so much.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.